If I could put a title to the message I'd like to share with you this morning, it would be Traveling Light. And I'd like for us to get a little picture in our mind. If we went back in time in the history of the settlement of our country, it's hard for me to imagine what it was like. I can get in a car this evening or sometime and drive to El Paso, and it's a 12-hour drive and I'm gone a long ways. But I'd like for us to think about what it was like if I had lived back then and I worked hard back in the east and I had a little farm that I had cleared off the trees on, and I finally got it to where it was productive. I was growing some things. I had my cows and I had my family and everything there. And then this news report comes about the promises that there are in the West. It's just yours for the taking if you want to go west. You know, I can kind of see in my mind that would be more attractive to the man, the husband, than it would be to the wife. You know, wife's pretty happy with it, just kind of being comfortable. If it's settled in here, why would we leave? But the guy, he's got it in his mind, there's some good things out there. Let's get rid of what we have here, sell the farm, and they loaded up their belongings. And we're not talking about a 26-foot U-Haul truck. We're talking about a covered wagon, and I pulled up looking at it. What do they say? The wagon size normally was a 10-foot long, 4-foot high, and 2-foot. 4-foot wide, 2-foot high. That's a little bit bigger than a sheet of plywood that you're going to put your earthly possessions on and head west. And the wife has some heirlooms that's been given to her. She's got a piano. She's got some living room furniture. Grandma gave her the dishes that she had way back there. But we've got a drive out ahead of us. We've got some distance that we've got to go. We're maybe going to be going 2,000 miles, and we got this yoke of oxen that's going to pull it there. And we're going to be months and months in going. And we're going to sell this that we have. We're going to get rid of what we have. And we're going to have to choose carefully what is real important before we head out. And I can remember for myself, you know, they're going to have to go across the Rocky Mountains. Those folks back there that met at St. Louis probably had no clue what the Rocky Mountains was like, except that somebody that came back, a guide that came back, would tell us it's going to be very difficult. To be able to make a move and consider what's real important to take, I thought about this. Some years ago, I moved from Tulsa to LaRonger, and I decided instead of using U-Haul, I would buy one of those 16-foot trailers, and I'm going to make my own U-Haul. So I put 6-foot sides on it, and I put a roof on it, and I started packing it. I mean, I did some packing. I was pretty proud of myself. I got the last thing in there and put a piece of plywood on the back of it. Everything is in here ready to go. And then I backed my truck up to it, and I started letting the jack down and down and down until my hitch was almost dragging the ground. And I realized, you know what? Just because I got it all in this trailer doesn't mean I'm going to be able to take it to Louisiana. I had to open it back up, pull half the stuff out, go get me another trailer, and pull two trailers down there with it. Well, I had a pickup. I didn't have enough pickup to pull it, but I did have a pickup. But I think about with them, what was it like when they, one thing is the faith that it took for them to be willing to make the sacrifice to go to something that somebody has just told me, Oregon is a wonderful place. It's going to take a little sacrifice to get there, but it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go. 2,000 miles from St. Louis to where they were wanting to go, somewhere around that. You know, I dread to get in a car to drive to Oregon. The days that it would take if you stopped to sleep, the days it would take if you didn't stop to sleep, if you just swapped off drivers and just kept on going, how many hours it would be. With them, what it was going to take for them to be able to make this journey. I thought about the children of Israel. When they left out of Egypt, it said they left with a high hand. They were so excited about what lay out ahead. We have hopes of a promised land out ahead. We're leaving Egypt. Everything is looking so good for us. I kind of think about the people that hear this about St. Louis. They get rid of their possessions. We're loaded down to the max now, though, but we are headed for the promised land. But you know what? If you read the stories about the Oregon Trail, it will tell you that when the times got difficult and the animals are wearing out, we can't keep pulling all this load that we loaded in it. And it said they found along the side of the road, the trail, possessions had to be dumped out. If you had the piano, if you still think you want to get to Oregon, you're going to have to unload some things. I'm not really so interested today in the story about Oregon, but to realize, you know what? We have started on a journey. It's easy for me to get saved, and I start out with a high hand. It is wonderful to be saved. Everything is good. I'm on my journey. And you know what? I can pick up some things that I'm going to carry with me on the journey. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about just things that can weigh me down. You know, we can each one, the things that would weigh me down, you may not have a bit of trouble with. You know, I can be weighted down with something that I consider very valuable. And it is, can unforgiveness be valuable to a person? I wouldn't call it that, but what I would do is when somebody hurts me, I carry that. I load it on my wagon and I take it along with me. I'm still headed for heaven, but I've got too much load to be able to go all the way. I was thinking of this. The goal out ahead for me is going to have to be more valuable than anything that I left behind. And with that, I thought about the children of Israel. If you would have asked them when they left out with a high hand, you looking forward to what's ahead, or you wish you were still here, they would have said, we're gone. We're looking forward to what's ahead. There came a time when they started looking back. They said, we remember. You know, they did not, at that time, they did not remember the boy children that were killed. They didn't remember the slave days when they were beaten. When Pharaoh said, you think you worked hard before? Moses has been coming to me. We used to provide you with straw. Now you're going to go get the straw and still deliver the same amount of bricks as you did before. They forgot about that, but they had something else that was loading them down. What we remember are the cucumbers that we had back there in Egypt. Well, now that's quite a swap right there. We remember the onions and the garlics, the things that made food taste more flavorful is what we remember. I'd like to look at a man that had a decision that he had to make over in Hebrews. Because each one of us, I'm on a journey myself. And there can be some things that I carry along with me that over time, if I would die tonight, everything would be fine. But you know, over time, I've got a lot of traveling through life that I've got to do. And it's the mercy of the Lord to come to me and say, you know what, it's going to be worth it for you to make it in the end. It's going to be worth it for you to unload this out of your life right here. It's going to be a little too much load for you. You know, I think of just two animals to try to pull a wagon if it was empty for 2,000 miles and be able to survive it. Be able to pull it up and down the mountains. You know, we are able to travel across the Rockies because they cut out a path, and even then sometimes it's really steep for us in a car. How they made it back then, they had to unload some things if they intended to make it. Here's somebody in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the 24th verse. He was traveling along pretty good. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The things that you load down on your wagon as you're traveling through life, he chose, this is valuable to him, suffer affliction with the people of God, because he's got to be seeing something out. There's something more to this journey. There's something at the end of it. Because he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he had respect to the recompense of the reward. You know, he was able to see out there a long distance out ahead. And I don't know how he saw it all in his day and time, but for somehow he saw, this is more valuable than all that I can attain in Egypt. There's another verse there in Hebrews 12 and 1. Let us lay aside, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. And you know, it's going to take us asking the Lord to help me to see the weights that there can be in my life that will hold me down. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What kind of patience it took for them to travel 2,000 miles day by day, just covering just a few miles, sometimes not able to go at all, somebody sick or things that they had to go through. And the things that we will go through, I was looking at there's things that I have to lay aside that's going to slow my progress if I don't. There's a song that we sing, it says, I give up all sinful pleasures and mirth, everything that would bind me to earth, the things that would cause me, you know, and those may not all be sin, but things that would bind me to earth. And then it says another one, to these vows I will ever remain, losing all, still I have all things to gain. I got to have a vision of something out ahead for me. Just like they had to have some faith to believe, when these people come back and tell me what Oregon is like and it's going to be worth everything, if you have to give your place away, if you can just get there, it's going to be worth it. I tell you, it's going to be that way for heaven for us. And I'm going to have to lay aside some weights to be able to make it. But I can do that. There's another verse in Hebrews 11 and 13. The end of that 13th verse, it says, they were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'm moving through this life. You know, if I'm not careful, it would be so easy for me to live as if I'll never leave this. This is where my heart is. This is everything about me. And I tell you, I believe this message is for me. Because we can get to an age where we say, okay, I'm coming down now to a place where I can stop working. I can just take it easy now. You know what? We want to realize I'm here for a short span of time. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm passing through this life. I was thinking of the poem that Damon gave us during Sunday school. Because I realize I'm passing through this life, I want to be asking the Lord, Lord, what do you have me in this stage of my life? What would you have me to be doing? It says they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's one thing for me to say it. It's another thing for me to show it by my life. It says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Not just with my mouth, but with my actions. I'm looking for another country. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. See, we're not talking about Oregon now. We're talking about a heavenly country that every one of us want to be able to make, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In the second verse of that Hebrews 12, where it tells us to run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, who for the joy that was set before him endured some things. I think about that as being where we are today. I've got to have a good vision of what is out ahead for the Christian. I think Cheryl got a good vision of what was out ahead. And I think this verse can apply to her, who for the joy that was set before her, she endured the affliction. She just laid it aside and said, Lord, you can do with me what you want because I've got a goal at the end. And I remember her even saying, you know what, I believe the Lord has sent this to me to help me to be able to let go of some things, to consecrate some things, and to realize the value of heaven out ahead for us. I want to be able to have that myself. I want to desire a better country. I want to be able to show it by my life. So some of the things that can put some weights on us, I was thinking of a verse over in Luke, the 10th chapter. Because in the as modern a time as we're living in, it looks like we would have no stress in our lives. We have so many things that automatically do things for us. But look at this in Luke 10 and in the 40th verse. These are things that we still have to take care of today. It says, 38th verse, came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and Martha received them in her house, had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You know, I wonder if the Lord could say this next verse to me sometime. You're careful and troubled about many things, temporal things that I get careful and troubled about. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. In this journey that I'm going, I'm having to remember what things are real valuable for me here and what things should I be dropping off. You know, the cares, what does it say in Matthew 11 and 28 to 30? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, I used to think that was the sinner coming to the Lord for salvation. You know, that can be me today, loaded down with things that I've got to do. Martha was not doing anything wrong when she was desiring to serve the Lord. It was just that she was cumbered with it. We can each one get cumbered with it. And the Lord comes along to me and says, you that are heavy labor and are heavy laden, I've got rest for you. You know what the Lord said? Jesus said, I've got a peace that I want to give you that the world cannot give. And this is one of those places I think that he wants to give us peace, is when I get laboring and heavy laden just with the affairs of life every day. And we come to the Lord with those. Lord, I need help with them. And I think he gave us a little secret whenever he said to Martha, Mary hath chosen that good part, which will not be taken away. I think it's going to be real valuable in our trip to realize the value of the song that we sing. I think it's number 175, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. Those words could be, hey, Dan, you know what? In a few years, this big trouble that you feel like you have right now is not going to be anything. You're going to leave it behind. It's going to be gone. He's got a rest for us. Remember, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. I want to be able to have that in my journey. There's a warning for us, lest your hearts be overcharged. You know, we're in a time where my mind and heart and everything can be charged with legal things. Just so much is going on. So much has got to be done. And I don't want to allow my heart to be overcharged. There's a song we sing, earthly pleasures fade away as I travel day by day up the shining way that leads to glory bright. You know, I don't need to realize that I'm on a journey. Every person on this earth today is on a journey somewhere. You know, I want to have a vision. You know what? Heaven's out ahead, and I need the Lord to help me. This journey may be months out ahead. It could be a long time. And those long times, I'm going to need the Lord to help me to know what's important right here, that I not get distracted. Colossians, the third chapter, first verse. If you then be risen with Christ. Think of this journey that we're on. We're traveling. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. You want to not be over your wagon overloaded with care? What does it say? Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And then let's start putting our affections on things above more. Mindful of that country from which they had come out, they could have had an opportunity to return back to it, but they keep their vision on this heavenly country. Over in Luke, the 12th chapter, we see this verse that says in the 15th verse, take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This verse is real important for me as I'm going through life, because this one thing right here can start loading my wagon down with some extra load that I'm going to have to get rid of. My life does not consist in the things that I possess. Those are not the most important things there are. And then he tells us the parable. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And you know, I see this as a possibility for every one of us. While I'm living for the Lord, I get distracted with some other things. Things that I should be taking care of anyhow. This ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. That was not a sin. It is good for us to be diligent about business. But it's what I do with all that that can load me down and hinder me. Because he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns, build greater. You know, this is almost like I've got a plan for staying here for a long time. And then he talked to his soul. That was probably the worst thing that he could have done. It wasn't just, we should, if we've got produce coming in, take care of it. Don't let it go to waste. But don't start talking to my soul and saying, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Because in this one, the Lord comes along and says, here's how much I value that. Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then who shall all these things be that you have? And it tells us another one. I'm looking at things that can hinder me in my travel to heaven. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, here's a man that had a desire to make heaven his home. In fact, his question was, when he comes to the Lord, in 16th verse, one, we call this the rich young ruler. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And you know, he went on through the list and the man said, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And then the Lord tells him, I've got one more thing for you. And when he told him that, it said that he went away sorrowful, 22nd verse, because he had great possessions. You know, he had something that caused him to not count valuable the very thing that he came and asked the Lord for. I want eternal life. But this right here is more valuable to me really than that. What he really wanted was both of them together. And as I look at that, and then it tells us, Jesus told him, he said, it's going to be hard for a rich man to enter heaven. And he tells them why, because it's real easy for a person, as things get real easy for us, to feel like, you know what, I can take care of the things. I've got a backup here, got a backup plan that can help me through it. It's not really saying a rich man cannot make heaven. It's just saying there's something that can happen when you have riches that cause you to feel like, you know what, I've got it in control. So I look at these things. We're each one, I will go back to work again to make money. We will have jobs, we'll have temporal things that we take care of. But there's a little warning that comes to us over in 1 Corinthians. Because what I really want to do is not just in my head, but in my heart, to realize, you know what, I'm traveling to another country and I don't want anything to distract me. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, 7 and 31. And they that use this world, and you know what? Every one of us use this world. We work to get money to buy something else. They that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So for me to realize, you know what? I use the world. I use the money that they have, the work that I need to do to get the money to buy this. But all the time realizing, don't abuse it. Yes. Don't set my heart too much on it. It tells us, if your riches increase, don't set your heart on it. Because our riches can take wings and fly away. You know, I love the story of Job. He was a wealthy man and did not say anything about that was sinful for him. Says he was one of the wealthiest men of the East. And yet, you know what? He held it, what did it say, traveling lightly. He did not let that become part of who he was. He had all these temporal possessions. How do we know he held it right, held it lightly? Was when they left him, he was still able to say, you know what? The Lord gave it, and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I want to be able to be careful. How do I check my own heart? How would I do if those things were taken from me? Can I still say, you know what? The Lord gave it. He took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I don't want to put my trust in economy today and feel like, you know what? This is going to be a prosperous years out ahead. You know what? Something can change. I've thought about this. I've been putting money into a 401k account while I was working. You know how fast that can be gone? It has happened. It has happened when there is trouble in the economy. And I've told this before, but I think it's valuable for us. The building I work in has financial advisors. Merrill Lynch is there. They are taking care of people's retirement money. And I was there the day that a man came in. He's asking about getting up to Merrill Lynch. And it was at a downturn in the economy. And he said, you know what? I've been tracking what the value is. You know, money that we put into retirement, it doesn't matter about going up and down until we start pulling it out. You know, we can see it on paper, it went down, but if you're not pulling it out, but this man was at the point that he was taking it out. And he saw it has decreased 35% or something in this last few days. And he can track, you know what, if it keeps doing that a few more days, I'll have nothing. He said, I'm going up to see if it's really as bad as what I have been hearing. And 2 days later, in the news, it was he committed suicide. There's where I tell where my heart is. You know what I would really like to do for myself, and it's going to take the Lord to help me. I've looked at it before and said, okay, could I do it like Job? If everything I have is taken away tomorrow, could I go down to Walmart and say, folks, do you have a position for that greeter? I'd like to be a greeter at your front door and still encourage some other folks. Life is good today. You know what? What that would be doing is telling the Lord, no matter what happens, he will care for me. It lightens my load while I'm traveling. I'd like to look at another verse over in Hebrews 10. 10 and 32. Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. So after you got saved, it seemed like trouble started coming your way. And it goes on down and says, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, part of it happened that you just happened to be in company of saved people that were going through some trouble. It says, 34th verse, you had compassion on me in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Joyfully the spoiling of your goods. When it's going away from me, I can still have joy. Here's how they did. knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I want to be able to have that in my life. You know what that's going to do is it's going to level out the highs and the lows of me watching what the stock market is doing and it's causing me problems. That I would be able to say, you know what, the Lord is in control of all things for me. I would like for us to look at a song. I'd like for us to sing it in closing. Number 220. It says, I give up all sinful pleasures and mirth, everything that would bind me to earth. And then it goes on with a little more. What are all these fleeting pleasures be worth when the flames of God's wrath shall break forth? I need to be able to see, you know what? I am a pilgrim and a stranger. My desire is to make heaven my home, and I want to lay aside every weight that would beset me and would cause me to have trouble. Those can be some simple things, like the next time somebody does something to you and you find you have a little difficulty of forgiving quickly, realize it's a load put in your wagon and I've got a long travel yet ahead and it's going to be a hindrance to me. I want to unload those things. I want to be able to keep in mind all of this that we've talked about this morning happens only when I have a vision of heaven out ahead. I've got to make it, whatever it takes. And then it finishes up this song, to these vows. It's not just today I believe I'm going to try this out. To these vows I ever firm will remain, giving all still I have all things to gain. How can I do that? By looking out at heaven out ahead. I want to make heaven. I want to realize the value of it. When I look at those people that were able, willing to give up so much that they had with a quest to Oregon that might be better, and the difficulties, the people that died on the way, and yet they saw that as valuable, I need to have held out in front of me, heaven's valuable. I want to lay aside any weight that would bind me. Maybe we can stand and sing number 220.